Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 6 and verse 13 will be our compound text this morning. We'll begin in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4 and read it through verse 15 to get the full context. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the sower is the Lord. The seed is the word of God. The sower is never the problem. The seed is never the problem. The soil is often the problem. And there are four kinds of soil, four kinds of hearers we have in our parable. First, we have the wayside soil. These are the indifferent or the casual hearers. Frankly, they don't care. Secondly, we have the rocky soil. These are the emotional and unstable hearers. And it is these hearers that we will be addressing primarily this morning. Third, we have the thorny ground. These are the worldly hearers. They like their stuff too much. And as one brother has wisely written in the latest edition of our newspaper, we don't often see a U-Haul behind a hearse. The final soil is the good ground. These are the receptive hearers. Now, the first three kinds of hearers are unsaved. It is only in the good ground that the word of God does two things: takes root, and that the hearers bear fruit. Our focus, as we have said, will be on the second kind of hearer this morning, the rocky ground hearers. Although, there are quite possibly all four kinds of hearers in my hearing this morning. Now, I give thanks that there is so much good ground in this assembly. Praise the Lord. But it is better to strengthen the ranks through challenge than to risk the loss of any who have not counted the cost, to give false hope to those who have had merely a superficial response to the gospel. If there be any indifferent or worldly hearers, then may the Lord's words this morning awaken you from your spiritual slumber. Please bear with me and hear on. Perhaps the Lord will use some means to reach your heart today. If indeed you are good ground, then good. If you are bearing fruit in your Christian life, good. Please make application insofar as you may be holding back from following and imitating certain things that Jesus has told you to do as a Christian. We all have those areas where we haven't quite given the Lord 100% of our hearts. And so I urge you to take that application away this morning, if the direct application of the text does not fit your case. So now, we shall address rocky ground hearers. My sense, God knows, is that many have walked through these doors. Many have walked through church doors in Bible-believing places where the gospel is preached. They have heard the gospel, they have rejoiced at hearing it, and then they dropped off the face of the earth within a very short period of time. What happened? Their faith was challenged in some way, shape, or form. Now it is my prayer this morning that you do not join their ranks. Our sermon points are as follows this morning. First, rocky ground hearers are unsaved, professing believers. Secondly, rocky ground hearers are emotional hearers only. And third, rocky ground hearers are spiritually unstable. First, rocky ground hearers are unsaved, professing believers. They're not real Christians, but they think they are, or they thought they were. To be self-deceived is an awful spiritual condition. To think you're going to heaven and not be is the worst of all cases. Now in our text, we read that there are rocky ground hearers who have no root. No root in Christ, and therefore no fruit of Christ, or no fruits of the Holy Spirit. What does the scripture say about professing believers who bear no fruit? Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits, you will know them. Now, this is dealing primarily with apostate, false teachers. But we can certainly make application individually as Christians. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's pretty sobering stuff, huh? Someone says, but I have believed, and then I have backslidden. This may be true, but how many think that they have bought spiritual fire insurance by raising a hand or coming forward, and then went forth and lived ungodly, excusing their own ungodly behavior, thinking that they were okay? And then they say, well, I'm backslidden. More often than not, this is an excuse. And worse, Such a one is likely self-deceived. Perhaps you are thinking, but I believe my Christian profession was real. And it's possible for people to backslide. Absolutely. Absolutely, that's possible. We affirm the doctrine of eternal security. Once one has made a true profession in Christ, then they cannot be snatched from his hand. One cannot lose their salvation. The point that I'm bringing out is, was the profession real in the first place? So if these things are going through your mind and they're troubling you, I'd say deal with that by way of honest self-examination. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Now, as believers, sometimes we may find it desirable to excuse the spiritual condition of our loved ones, of our parents, of our children, family members and friends dear to us. Trying to excuse away the fact that they have never made a true profession in Christ. Well, they walked forward when they were 12. When they were 8 years old, they were baptized. They said the prayer. Now again, God knows all the hearts. But if there has been no root and no fruit, we are likely doing them a disservice by allowing them to continue in their self-deception and not continually bringing forth the truth of the gospel to their attention. Will you allow them to enter eternity apart from God by failing to do your duty as a watchman? Their blood shall be upon your hands. So, one is thinking, Bible says we're not supposed to judge, right? We're certainly not supposed to judge self-righteously. We're not supposed to fault find and pick people apart because they're not meeting our criteria for what we think a true Christian ought to look like. People all come from different places, and they come to Christ in different ways, and they travel different roads. So let us be careful not to go too far in making assumptions. However, Jesus Christ not only tells us, but commands us to judge righteous judgment and exercise spiritual discernment. It's right in the scriptures. John 7:24. There are those who say, yes, I believe in Christ, but let's have none of this talk of religion at my holiday table. At Christmas! Perhaps, friend, if you're one of these, perhaps you're a believer, but perhaps you're a stony ground hearer of the word. And when such tribulation comes, immediately you fall away. Because there's no root. And therefore no fruit. You may be a Christian saved as through fire, but you cannot be a Great Commission Christian. Consider the following scriptures. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus wasn't being callous here. Basically, what that guy wanted to do was wait until his father died so he could get his money. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And that phrase, translated hate, actually means love less. In other words, if somebody doesn't have their priorities in order, and God is not first in their life, then they cannot truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? Moving on to our second point this morning. Rocky ground hearers are emotional hearers only. It's good to be an emotional hearer of the Word of God. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, should touch our emotions. But not our emotions only. You see, rocky ground hearers receive the Word with joy. Believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Why? They have no root. The Word of God must not only stir the emotions, but it also must engage the mind and take root in the heart. The emotional hearer only is a spiritual coward. He or she bails out when being right before God requires effort, life changes, and perseverance through trials. Not so with the true believer. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. And so we've arrived at our third point this morning. Rocky ground hearers are unstable hearers. The Lord states the condition of these in his word. For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. The rocky ground here is here today, gone tomorrow. Jesus speaks to many would-be disciples in John chapter 6 who were following him. And when the going got tough, because Jesus started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood and these kinds of things that the Jews could not stomach, these things were very unpopular. And rather than be ostracized by the community, many of these would-be disciples followed him no more. Do you wish to be stable? Well then, respond after the manner of Peter. To whom then shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Truly receive the gospel. Accept the truth of God's word as your objective rule of life, whatever the costs. Consider your own spiritual condition in light of God's word. Do you pass the fruit test? Is there any real lasting fruit, spiritual fruit in your life? If not, consider the seriousness of your own Christian profession. Count the cost and make your calling and election sure. Have you never professed to be a Christian at all? This is better, perhaps, than having professed falsely. But you shall end up in the same place as the hypocrite. If you're looking to make an excuse this morning, if you dislike hypocrisy that much, then surely you do not want to spend eternity with hypocrites. Have you borne fruit, but yet you live out your Christian life inconsistently? The United States Army has no need of soldiers who will only join the battle when they feel like it. Has God's army need of spiritual soldiers who will go AWOL when the battle becomes the fiercest? Lord God, these are very heavy matters that we have been dealing with this morning. But Lord, we pray that if there are any hearers who are rocky ground hearers, that they hear the warning and heed it, and counting the cost, take root in Jesus Christ. Lord God, that those who are of the household of faith will be challenged by the seriousness of discipleship this morning. And Lord, that if there are any indifferent or worldly hearers this morning, that they too will be spiritually quickened and seek salvation and true lasting hope that the world does not provide through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now at this time,